Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Election day is tomorrow for what is being billed as the most consequential midterm elections in decades. What's at stake? And what do you need to know if you've not voted yet? We have a lot to talk about tonight. My guests are Latasha Brown, co-founder of Black Voters Matter, and Damon Hewitt, president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And of course, you, the listener, give me a call. What are you concerned about? What do you have questions about ahead of Election Day tomorrow at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Latasha, Damon, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having
us. Yes, thanks.
Latasha, let me start with you. Already, more than 41 million votes have been cast, whether they were in early voting or mail-in voting. What difference do you believe that could make going into tomorrow?
I think that it speaks to where people are. I think that there's, you know, I've seen headline after headline to talk about, oh, where voters aren't excited about this election and, you know, there's going to be a depressed vote. And what we're actually seeing is we're seeing the opposite, because I think that people, and particularly young voters in particular, have moved beyond just about the excitement of a candidate and really recognize, I think that there's a lot of work that is happening. But I do think on some level, people really do understand what is at stake. And they understand on some level that we have a full-fledged attack on democracy right now. And in many of these states where you see these close elections, you know, where voters are actually responding to it. So you see in places like Wisconsin, where there's been a 50% increase in the voter turnout already. When you see places like Georgia, where literally you've got on the highest turnout for a midterm election that has broken records. When you're seeing, like, what we're seeing across the country is, I think that we're seeing that some of the momentum from 2020, that we're still seeing some of the particularly young voters stay engaged. It's not, there's very nuanced, because I don't think it's for the same reason. And I don't think it's the same kind of sort of engagement, but I do believe that there's a certain kind of resolve that voters have, that what we're seeing across the country and in the places that we're working is that they're responding to this, the moment at hand. And I'm actually happy to see that.
So if I am a voter in a swing state right now, be it, for example, Georgia, and we do know that the RNC has sued to have some mail-in ballots disqualified. Should I be worried about my vote, Latasha?
I think we should always be worried about any tricks, any attempt to actually overturn our votes, because we've seen these tricks before. This has been an ongoing challenge to make sure that Black votes are counted. That has been our struggle since day one. So we absolutely should be concerned. We should be so concerned that we're even that much more committed to make sure that we get out and vote. And I think we should literally be that much more concerned around really tracking and paying attention to what is happening. And this is why we literally have to support, after this election is over, we have got to come together and make sure that we're putting all the pressure as possible on really getting the restoration of the Voting Rights Act because of this, right, this very issue. And so, yes, it is. I wish I could say it's not an area of concern, but it is. But there are amazing organizations, just like my brother Damon, who was on here, that are doing voter protection work, and lawyers that are tracking, the Lawyers Committee on Civil Rights, that are actually tracking what is happening. They're in conversation with DOJ. They're building a record. Part of what we have to do is we have to respond in this moment. That not only, like, if we're having any problems voting, we have to make sure that we're documenting that process. But absolutely, I think we should be concerned, not just about this election, but future elections to come. That we literally have there is a full-fledged attack on voting rights in this country right now. There's no question about it. That's not something that is subjective. That is just factual. That is what's happening right now, and that we're seeing those attacks happen at every single level. And I think part of what you're seeing in terms of, like, the turnout in Georgia is in response to that, that we know that there have been these attacks on voting rights with the passage of SB 202, which is a law that was passed right shortly after the election in 2021 that we had in Georgia, and we had record turnout in 2020 and 2021 special elections, that we recognize that our votes, that we are literally under attack, which is even that much more critical that we really organize ourselves in a way that we are voting at high numbers in a block to at least try to offset some of that. But in addition to that, we can no longer just show up and vote and then go back to just thinking that it'll take care of itself. I think it's important for us to vote. But it's also very important that we follow this issue through, that we actually track our vote, and that we stay abreast on what is happening around us.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about what you need to know ahead of Election Day tomorrow. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Damon, what should I be doing right now if I've not voted yet ahead of getting up and getting out to the poll tomorrow?
Well, look, thanks for creating the space to get out to the community.
And absolutely.
I couldn't agree with Latasha more. I mean, she's spot on. She's been out there on the bus all around the country and places where other folks don't dare to go to get the word out. But the number one thing folks should do right now is make a plan. And if you're making a plan today, then more than likely means you're going to show up in person to vote tomorrow. In most jurisdictions, that's going to be the primary way, but the only way sometimes you can actually vote tomorrow at this point in most jurisdictions. So making a plan means if you got a job or if you got school, make sure you have the time that you can go. Don't think you can just dip in and out, because sadly in our communities, too often there are long lines. We've been working to fight and challenge that in terms of allocation of resources to make that plan. Make sure you have childcare. Make sure you have your own food and water, because obviously they're trying to make that illegal in some places like Georgia and elsewhere. And so just make that plan about when you're going to go, how you're going to go. Go with a friend. Go with a buddy. You know, somebody, you know, especially if they're voting the same precinct as you, so y'all can do it together. So you can really turn up and turn out and bring the energy and cast your ballot.
You know, one of the things that we have heard a lot of reports about, have not so much seen in the DMV, but we suspect that these issues may be of concern in some of the more far-flung areas, about people in camouflage gear, armed people standing by either mailbox or voter polls and the like. Damon, talk to me about the definition of voter intimidation. If these people are there, what do you do? Do you ignore them? Do you take their picture? They're taking pictures of you. There are all kinds of shenanigans being reported.
Yeah, so all over the place we're hearing about this. Certainly in Arizona, there was a lawsuit last week about armed people trying to intimidate voters. We actually have lawyers in court right this hour in Beaumont, Texas, regarding not private actors, but poll workers who was talking in loud voices to black voters, making them, repeat their addresses in ways that they're not doing to white voters. So we're trying to get a poll worker removed right now so that that person who was an issue during early voting isn't an issue tomorrow when people show up to vote. This is, again, happening to black voters in Beaumont, Texas. A court hearing is happening right this hour. So here's what people should do. Number one, stay safe. You know, trust your instincts. If you see somebody who's armed, especially, you don't want to get into some kind of confrontation or some type of, challenger back and forth, because that stuff can turn violent, even when you think it won't, right? So we don't want people to cede their ground in terms of voting, but we certainly don't want people to invite some type of physical confrontation or to allow it to escalate to that point. So stay safe. Remember this, if you're in line, stay in the line. Don't let anybody deter you, make you walk away. If you get challenged by someone in terms of your qualifications, figure out what their credentials are. Ask them what their credentials are. They may just be anybody off the street. They may not have anything to do with the electoral process in an official capacity. And of course, if you feel physically threatened and you have to leave, You want to document everything you can about what's going on. If you feel comfortable calling law enforcement, do that. But definitely call the 866-OUR-VOTE hotline. That's 866-OUR-VOTE. That's the National Election Protection Coalition hotline. Almost 300 organizations nationwide came together after the 2000 election to create the Election Protection Coalition and the hotline. And Lawyers Committee are honored to be the convener of that effort. We have served thousands of voters today who call from all over the country. We have trained for 11,000 attorney volunteer slots just for this election cycle alone. Attorneys from all over the country who can answer your legal questions, because sometimes the laws do vary from state to state. So keep your head on the swivel, stay safe, and make sure you don't let anyone turn you away so long as you feel safe.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What you need to know before Election Day tomorrow if you've not voted and you plan to vote. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Ken, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ken. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, and thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I think one of the biggest problems that we're having is not just so much whether or not we come out and vote, because we absolutely should, but it's do the people that we're voting for represent our best interests. For so long, as black people, we've been fighting this for years, over a century, since we've arrived in this nation. And neither side, neither party has collectively done anything in particular specifically for black people. We even connected the affirmative rights affirmative action to Asians that were trying to go into Harvard. So the point being is that at some point we have to hold our vote hostage and demand what we want, not what they want to give us. If you go to a bank and you hold it hostage, you make a demand. You don't let them give you what they want to give you. We have got to put their feet to the fire. We've got to hold our own people of color, regardless of what party they're on, their feet to the fire and prioritize us, because we're losing generations. I'm not afraid of anything, and I don't think my people are. We come from a lineage of strong people. God made us this way for a reason. We are brandished in fire. We're ready for the war, but we need direction. We need support. We need help, but we cannot do this. Only thing we're producing right now is sweat. We're not producing anything else.
Ken, thank you for that. Latasha, about what Ken is just saying, your thoughts about this. This was a discussion that I was having earlier today. Yes, the black vote is a powerful vote, but in the grand scheme of things, black people are not monolithic. We know that, number one. Number two, that we are, about 12% of the population? Okay, number two. And so with the big fight over redistricting all over the country. We've seen it in redrawn districts in Virginia. The districts have been redrawn in Maryland. We've seen the big fight in Alabama. Black votes matter, but how much do they matter? Holding the vote, is that the thing to do, Latasha, or does that dilute the black vote?
Let me say this, a couple of things. One, let me thank Brother Ken for... You know, I hear the spirit of what he's saying. I hear the frustration. I hear the spirit of what he is, expressing. And I think that there are many people that that actually are feeling that sense of frustration and discontentment. But there are two things that I want to say. The first thing I want to say is, while yes, there has been frustrations on us around both parties in this country, we've got to be politically astute to not create a false equivalency. The bottom line is the Republican Party is us harboring white nationalists and white supremacists, and literally having an agenda. That is not the same. That's a different kind of ball game. And maybe I am passionate about this because I'm from the Deep South, and I've had family members who have been tortured. I've had family members who have literally, their lives have been online, have had to leave. That ain't no joke for me. At the bottom line is, any party that aligns itself with white supremacy, they have to be stopped no matter what. No matter, before we talk about policy, before we talk about all the other stuff, all of that is important, but that when there is a party that aligns itself with white supremacy, that they seek to kill our people, under no circumstances can we not address that. Right? This ain't the moment that you hold a vote hostage, because I'm not really clear about what that is. because you don't. That's like in a game that you're in a game. You're in two teams in a game, and you got the player saying, "I'm gonna hold my points hostage." That means your team gonna lose. The bottom line is someone there are millions of dollars that are on the table. But I will also say, let me say this. That at the end of the day, I have been in, and maybe this is because of my work as an organizer, I have been in the courtroom, and I can tell you when there's been a DA that has actually been a DA that is literally the community has put in.
Latasha, hold your point. I need to ask you, number one, because I've got to take a really, really quick break. Can you give me 5 more minutes on the other side of the break?
I can.
You can. Thank you. Stay put. We're going to also have Damon react to that last point. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Election Eve conversation. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is an Election Eve conversation. Election Day is tomorrow, one of the most consequential midterm elections in decades. We continue our conversation with Latasha Brown, co-founder of Black Voters Matter, and Damon Hewitt, president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Latasha, we were talking about what Ken just said about, you know, holding the vote. It sounds to me as if you're saying, you know, as critical as this election is right now, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
No, what I am saying is sometimes it's not about the devil at all. It's about you and you protecting, you doing everything in your power to reduce the harm happening to your community. There's no such thing as withholding the vote. Not holding a vote is a vote that you're giving more power to the folks that vote against you. Like, there's no reality. That's like in if you're playing a spade game and you're sitting over there holding two books. If you don't play your two books, your team just don't lose. Like, it's a zero-sum game that at the end of the day, that policy is shaped by those who are policymakers. That's just the truth, right? That's a fact. And so when we're not, and that policy impacts our community, right? At the end of the day, the policies that happen around healthcare, they're impacting our communities. The policies that impact around sentencing, around criminal justice, that impacts our community. I cannot afford to operate in every single segment of literally that is going to impact policy because it's hurting my people. I have to use every tool available to me. Right. And so I think that we have to really get beyond the idea that in some way, if you don't participate, that there's some level of power with that. What level of power do we have with that when the current system that we have, that policies, every single day policies that determine around where we stay, where we can stay, where we can afford, how much money we make, what health care we got access to, that policy is being made through that process. The second and the second thing with that is just what I said earlier around, at the very least, we have to use it as a harm reduction strategy. We cannot sit back and allow these harmful, extremely harmful policies to happen to our people and act as if, well, I'm just going to move a point and I'm going to let things get worse. Because most people who say that are in a place of privilege. Most folks that say that. Say that because they're not worried about where they're gonna get their next meal from. Most people they come out of a place of privilege to be able to say that. Most people that are saying, "Well, it doesn't matter." You tell that sister that it doesn't matter. That literally this year, because of Black folks in Georgia, literally being able to shift and make sure that we had 2 senators, that literally that prevented hundreds of thousands of Black folks from getting evicted in their homes. Now, some of us, we ain't got to worry about that. Some of us, we got our home paid for. Some of us, we got some money saved up. But some of our people literally don't have needed that protection to keep from being evicted on the street.
Well,
that extra money.
Let me let Damon get in here because it sounds to me, and Damon, help me with this, in Ken's case, you know, sometimes you may not like what party A
is doing for you, or you're not getting what you want from party A, but party B is not holding any of your interests at all. Indeed, you may believe that party B's interests are hurting you. And so sometimes you can't vote for, but yet you have to vote against. Am I on point here, Damon, or am I overstating it?
Well, look, you got it right. If you're playing checkers or chess, you know, Tasha talked about spades. I talk about checkers or chess. You don't come play checkers just because you like red checkers or black checkers. You don't play chess because you like, black queens or white kings. You're going to play that game, and you're going to make the pieces work for you. You don't work for those pieces, right? So if the goal is to win, don't get played. I think that's the number one thing. You know, look, there's no doubt in my mind that parties pander to voters to get their votes so that they can, you know, have their power. And I think it's the worst thing in the world for a political party to say, well, help me to help you. The only way that you can get help is if you help me. That sometimes that may end up being practically true, but it may not be true for all seasons. You've got to be independent-minded, and you've got to make sure that the game works for you. There's no question about that in my mind.
Mm. Damon, should I be concerned about the security of my ballot? I will tell you. So I voted by mail in Maryland, and after I dropped it off at one of those big metal boxes, I guess about, 3 days or so later, I got a text saying that my ballot had been received. I wasn't expecting that, but when I got that text and I could click on and I could essentially see that my Maryland ballot had been received, I must admit that there was a sense of ease that immediately hit me. And so should any voter be concerned about election security? We've been hearing so much about election integrity, election security now since, dare I say, 2019.
Right. Well, look, you know, the kind of security folks you need to be worried about is, you know, hackers and whatnot, not so much the security of the means that people are using to physically vote themselves, whether it be in person, whether it be by mail, whether it be drop boxes. You know, the drop boxes today are designed such that the only thing that can fit in the drop box is going to be your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the 2020 election, where over 100 million people voted before Election Day, which is, you know, more than twice as many as this midterm election, where you expect there wouldn't be quite as many. We know that 2020 was reported to be the safest election in U.S. history, based upon national security experts, right? So we have nothing to worry about in terms of those drop boxes. Some states and jurisdictions are going to go the extra mile to confirm receipt, what have you. One thing that folks should know about is, because of some of the requirements in certain states, you may have to do what they call a curing of your mail or drop box ballot, meaning some states are going to require a certain signature match or a date that may be in the wrong place. And sometimes these things are confusing, but there are ways to what they call cure your ballot. So if you get a contact after you've dropped it off, after Election Day even, because a lot of states, they don't start counting them until after Election Day, the canvassing, they call it. If the canvassing starts afterwards and you get contacted after Election Day, be responsive to that outreach. Make sure you know exactly who it is reaching out to you. Ask them questions if you're not sure. But make sure that you're responsive to it. But to your point and to your question, there's nothing that folks should be worried about as far as the safety of their ballot once they drop it off.
Latasha, let me ask you again about the black vote. I'm not talking about the Damon Hewitts. I'm not talking about the Latasha Browns. I'm not talking about the Harold Fishers. I'm talking about the nameless black, potential black voters who, for one reason or another, are not paying attention, who are not voting. What What is endangering the black vote right now? Is it misinformation? Is it disinformation? Is it polarization on social media? Is it what, from your perspective?
My perspective is the biggest issue that's endangering us is believing that we don't have power. And part of what I hear over and over in I hear over and over again when we say what we can't do is we don't tap into believing that we actually have the collective power to shift and change, that we don't really understand that literally this the voter suppression is not a result because we're losing, it's because we're winning, that we're pushing and we're changing and we're actually reshifting the entire political landscape for both political parties. That you've got literally, we are shifting. And so we are, I'm saying this because I think it's really important. When I am talking to voters, those are the folks, that's my work. Those are the voters that I'm talking to. That's who I'm looking for. Because one, there are a couple of things. One, being honest with voters around. I am the first to say, and my organization is called Black Voters Matter. I am the first one to say that, do I believe that voting is going to solve all our problems? Absolutely not. Do I believe that voting is the panacea that's going to lead us to black liberation? Absolutely not. That's not what I believe. I believe that voting is a powerful tool to impact public policy, reduce the harm happening in my community, and shape the political reality that we live in. What I believe is I believe that my community is at war, that I believe that my community is attacked every single day, that we are attacked based on racism and structural racism, that we are under, that our communities are underfunded, that we need resources, that I believe that literally everything, and when a community is at war, you have to use every single tool available to you to literally be able to advance and push back on your community. Do we need economic power? Absolutely. But try to get some economic power and don't have your politics and see how that works. Right? Do we need social power? Absolutely. All of those different things. But we have to really recognize that when your community is under attack, we don't have the privilege or the luxury not to use every single thing that is available to us and literally to push back and actually move our community forward. So when I'm talking to brothers and sisters every single day that are expressing some frustration in the system, most of that derives from they don't believe that they actually can change it. Right? That when I am talking to brothers and sisters every day that says, well, my vote don't count because they have literally been, and that has been part of the process. Part of the process is to make us feel, to beat us so down that we believe that literally our engagement in the process has such minimal impact that nothing will change. The truth of the matter is I can't say that I won't change because I can't. It's a lie for me to say that things haven't changed because guess what? We are riding around in what we call the blackest bus in America freely all throughout this nation. My grandparents, my aunt who right now just was at my home on Friday was talking about that when she was moving from Alabama to go to Ohio to see my family member, she had to stand on the bus the entire way until they got to the Mason-Dixon line. That has changed. When I am seeing two black people lead the top of the ticket, Stacey Abrams and Ralph Warnock, Raphael Warnock lead the ticket, the top of the ticket. When I am seeing black folks being in positions of power to push back, to actually move forward, to put resources in our community and in places where literally we were killed, we were hung, that we were literally tortured, that is progress. Does that mean that the progress is over? Absolutely not. But mighty rivers are filled drop by drop. When you are really serious, when you're really serious about changing our community, you are willing to be a strategic, be strategic where you are moving on multiple levels. You know, there are people that say, well, these two parties, you know, they're not doing anything for us, or we just should disengage, and they've not done anything else. I can speak. I'm someone who's actually started a third party. I'm someone who's actually moved folks to vote. I am someone who's actually challenged those parties. I got receipts. So at the end of the day, if we're really serious, do the work.
Yeah. Latasha Brown with Black Voters Matter. I appreciate you spending some extra time with us. I know we've got to let you go, but I really appreciate your intellect, your passion in this fight to make sure that everyone, particularly people of color, exercise their right to vote. So thank you so much, so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with Damon Hewitt, President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Damon, the question I need you to answer when we come back is, with all of the information, disinformation wars going on all the way up to and through Election Day, where do I go for the truth? We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about what you need to know ahead of Election Day. Damon Hewitt is still with us, President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Damon, you know there's a lot of information, disinformation, misinformation, people who are trying to persuade you to vote one way or another. If I have not made up my mind about a particular candidate, if I've not made up my mind about a particular issue, where do I go for accurate information when I've got the political push me, pull you going on?
Well, look, if it comes down to information about how to vote or who to vote for, or whether to vote for a proposition or a referendum, that is beyond what we do at the Lawyers Committee. But, look, there are many great organizations out there. Some of them are going to be political parties. If you really trust a party and that's who you want to rock with, you should reach out to that party. It's not just Republicans and Democrats. There's, you know, Green Party, Working Families Party. There's all kind of parties, depending on where you are, who are active. But there's also organizations that are nonprofits and that are nonpartisan, like the NAACP, that puts out scorecards on key issues that are germane to our community. So NAACP and National Urban League and others routinely have scorecards to look at the vote record of various elected officials, especially at the federal level, on how they're voting in the interest of our community or if they're not. You also have groups like League of Women Voters that has national organization that's run by a Latina sister now, and also the state affiliates all around the country who put out various voter guides. So I can't tell people here's where you should go because it's beyond what we do at the Lawyers Committee, but I definitely think that people should go to the places that they trust.
How should people address voter anxiety? Because again, with all of the news reporting and even there are reports today that former President Trump, for example, is planning on announcing his 2024 presidential campaign, and people in his party are telling him, don't do that because it could energize progressive votes, Democratic votes, or anti-Republican votes. And there are some people who may feel political anxiety. Some people may feel real anxiety just around this election because the political winds could very well change tomorrow or in some cases next week or next month, depending on how long the counting goes.
Right. Well, look, if you go into a championship game or a big exam or a night before your wedding, you're going to have some anxiety before the biggest moments of your life, the best and proudest moments of your life. People who supported President Obama were anxious then, even though the polls show that he was in the lead, right? And so I think the thing is, we've got to turn that anxiety into something healthy, right? You have to channel it into action. If you're worried about the direction of the country, what better reason than to vote? And if you're going to go vote, what better reason than to make a plan? And if you're going to make a strong plan, what better reason than to have the election protection hotline, 866-OUR-VOTE, in your mind and in your pocket, and share it with your friends and family so that you can actually collectively exercise your influence and your power over all the things that are making you anxious.
So what happens if someone who has yet to vote goes to the poll tomorrow and for whatever reason is told that they can't cast their vote, or must cast a provisional ballot, or must cast an absentee ballot, or something like that.
Right.
If they call 866 our vote, what kind of support could they get? Could they get information that will help them be able to cast their vote, or be able to ask the right question of a polling or poll official?
Most definitely. If you call the hotline, you'll be connected with a trained lawyer, a trained legal volunteer. For folks who are doing this, free of charge, when we have trained ourselves on how to answer the questions, not just in the abstract, but customized support for that individual based upon the laws in your state. So likely what you'll find, if someone is turned away, there'll be a check about, okay, can we check your registration status? Have you actually requested an absentee ballot or a mail ballot? Is that something that's holding you up at the polls? Is there some flag on you because of that? Because they say you already had one in the mail.
Let me stop you there. Explain that, because that is really, really critical.
Right. So, look, obviously what you're not going to do is vote twice, right?
Right.
We can't do that. But there's certainly, if you've already requested an absentee ballot or a mail ballot in most jurisdictions, there may be a flag that says, hey, this person's already requested. The key is whether you've actually already cast that ballot, right? That's the key. But back to your question on the provisional ballot, look, if you're being turned away and being told you can't vote, you can at the very least cast a provisional ballot for the federal races. That is required under federal law. In a lot of jurisdictions, you can also use a provisional ballot for the state or so-called down-ballot races as well. Just like you, Harold, I live in Maryland as well. So there's a governor's race, there's school board races, there's county council races, what have you, right? And so what you want to be able to do is use a provisional ballot to vote for everything that you possibly can. But calling a hotline is important, because sometimes the reason you're told to vote via provisional ballot, or reason why you may ask to vote via provisional ballot, is because you may be told you're in the wrong precinct. Now, look, if you have time to get to the right precinct, if you are at the wrong precinct, maybe you might want to do that, right? So you can use a regular ballot instead of a provisional ballot and vote for every race. But the most important thing is that you make your voice heard as best you can. If the polls close at 8 o'clock and it's 7:55 p.m., I would not risk it trying to get, to a place that's, 3 miles away, because you might not get in line in time. I will say, just take this opportunity to say that if you are in line before the end of the polling time, as long as you're already in line, you can still cast your ballot. Do not let anybody turn you away for that reason.
What is the difference between an absentee and provisional ballot?
Oh, well, absentee or vote by mail is a ballot that's going to be mailed out to you. As you know, in Maryland, during the teeth of the pandemic, those ballots were automatically mailed out to us as they were in other places. Now you have to actually request them. So that's a ballot that you request online or via mail, and then it gets sent out to you, and then you have to send it back by a postmark deadline in most cases. Sometimes it's going to be a receipt deadline, but typically a postmark deadline. But the provisional ballot is one that you vote in person at the polling site. They may say, hey, look, we don't have your name listed here, or hey, you may be at the wrong precinct, or hey, we think that you already, that you're not eligible to vote, put it that way. But you can vote via provisional ballot. If you have a good faith belief that you are an eligible voter and that you should be able to vote, use that provisional ballot.
So what happens to it?
Well, what's happened is the provisional ballots get set aside and then counted separately. Just the way on election night, you see that's when you start counting the absentee ballots and the by-mail ballots, the canvassing, as they call it. And those provisional ballots get counted in that same way. And so if it turns out that you were eligible to vote at the place where you showed up, then you can do it. In some states, you have to be in the right precinct. In Texas, technically, you can actually show up anywhere in the county and cast your ballot. But if the ballot is legit and the voter is eligible, then your provisional ballot should count.
See, that's the thing that I would think would give a voter confidence in the security of their ballot. Because 2 years ago, I got a vote by mail ballot but I always want to vote in person. So I didn't use that vote by mail ballot. But when I got to my polling place that I've been going to for years, the poll worker said, well, no, you can't, because you had a mail-in ballot. You requested it by checking off that information. And I said, but I didn't use it. Okay. So instead of allowing me to vote in, you know, as everyone else, I was given a provisional ballot. And essentially what happened was, and they said, if it is determined that your mail-in ballot is where you left it on your side table in your living room, then your provisional ballot will be canvassed.
Right.
And of course, by that time, mail-in balloting was closed. So I could not use that mail-in ballot that I still had sitting on my side table in my living room. And so I think it's that kind of check and balance, that kind of security, that no matter who you vote for, what your party is, or what your concern is, that lets you know that things are the way that they are supposed to be.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, the election laws and rules are not just to conduct a witch hunt. They're to actually keep us safe and keep the process safe from honest mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes aren't the voters' mistakes, like forgetting that you requested the absentee, or maybe spilling coffee on it, or the kids spilled food on it, or the dog ate it. Sometimes the mistake is from the election workers. You know, we receive thousands of calls to the 866 I Vote hotline today. A number of them are from voters in states like Georgia, where we have learned that election officials are just now mailing out absentee and by-mail ballots. There's absolutely no way people are going to receive those and get them in time. And so those are precisely the kind of people, Harold, who will be in that situation that you were, whether it be somebody else's mistake or maybe their own not having time to get it done. Those are the folks who are going to be rushing to the polls to say, look, I requested a ballot by mail, but it never came because it just got mailed out. This has happened to thousands of people around the country. And this is in part because of systemic underfunding and sometimes, sadly, incompetence when it comes to election administration. You would think that we'd be investing more in this country in getting that right.
Yeah. I only have about a minute or so left. From your perspective, from the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, what is the message for voters tomorrow?
Well, the message is that this is not just about your vote or let alone your vote for a party or a candidate. This is not about a vote only, but about your voice, but about your vitality, another way of saying life. Believe that Black lives matter, then Black votes and voters, as Latasha's organization says, should matter as well. If you believe you matter, be a stakeholder, be a proud stakeholder, and make sure you exercise your right to vote to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Damon Hewitt with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, thank you so much for spending some really, really important time. I can't emphasize that enough, that no matter who you vote for, what your party is, make sure that your vote and your voice is heard. Damon, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Harold.
Absolutely. Also, we want to thank Latasha Brown from Black Voters Matter for spending some time with us earlier today. And don't forget to join the WHUR news team throughout the day for our special Election Day coverage on air and online. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, November 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.